today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's that bridge between the season after Epiphany and Lent. And on Wednesday, a day known to us as Ash Wednesday, we'll begin a 40-day trek through the season of Lent. Oftentimes it's thought of as a trek through the wilderness, a time of preparation to get ready to receive the good news of Easter. And we have this period of time set aside every year when we pray, when we fast, when we get ourselves and our spaces ready. And we'll talk more about that a little bit on Wednesday and more next Sunday and what Lent might look like in our lives. But let's go back to today, Transfiguration Sunday. Now, that seems like a fancy, very churchy sort of word. What might it mean for us? Looking back at the Greek for transfiguration, it's actually a much more familiar word to us. It's the word metamorphosis. You remember back to your childhood science classes, the word metamorphosis? I was listening to a preacher from the Chicago area this week who reminded me of something that I am certain I knew but had fallen out of my brain, that the spiritual realm follows the natural world. She says that this is so that we can see in nature what's happening in a place where we can't see it. It boosts our mind's ability to comprehend what we might not fully grasp otherwise. And so while we might not fully understand what it means that Jesus is transfigured right in front of these bewildered disciples, we get a little clue from the word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is that thing that happens during natural development for many animals. They go through a transformation. Perhaps the favorite example is what happens as a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Or maybe when the tadpole transforms and goes through development to become a frog. This is metamorphosis. It's a natural change, a developmental difference that comes about as things grow up and come into their own. Jesus is transfigured. He goes through a metamorphosis of sorts where he is once again claimed by God. We hear the voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." God the Father is claiming Jesus once again, as he claimed him at baptism. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." It's an echo of the word spoken at the banks of the Jordan River, once again heard on the mountaintop, this time with a special instruction to the disciples. Listen to him. Have you ever had an experience of having a moment of surprising illumination when something ordinary and routine is suddenly revealed in a new light? There's something that puts a different twist on it, something that you then recognize that you hadn't seen or heard in that before. For me, I remember having what seemed like my mind blown in a good way, time and time and time again, as I was in seminary, learning about the Bible and the rich traditions of the church and how it's all connected and how the symbols tie in and the richness that's there. But I also realize that it's not just in academic settings where this happens. It happens with people as well. Have you had it occur, like I have, where you all too inadequately or maybe even wrongly grasp the character of a person, missing the depth and meaning and intention in your conversations and interactions. And it's only after the fact that it's revealed what was there all along that you had missed. I think there's something almost commonplace in this human experience. And I think it's what's going on with the disciples as the transfiguration occurs this morning. Perhaps it's the disciples' puzzlement with what they're seeing with their physical eyes instead of their spiritual eyes. Peter tries to figure out what's happening. He offers to build three dwelling places, one for Jesus and one for Moses and one for Elijah, to commemorate the moment so they never have to come down off the mountaintop. But he gets it wrong. It's not what's going on in the Transfiguration. And I don't know about you, but I'm a lot like Peter. For me, epiphanies rarely occur at the moment when it's all happening. It's usually after reflecting on the experience, taking a step back, that then I can begin to understand, to gain some perspective, to find the spiritual insight and clarity of what has just occurred. Transfiguration isn't meant to be a memorializing moment, but a moment of revelation of the truth. You see, just a few verses earlier, Jesus has been talking with his disciples, and he asks them an important question. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Can we, after having encountered Jesus, echo the response of the disciple, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God"? I can't help but think that the Transfiguration gives us some of that language to be able to say those words, to recognize who Jesus is among us. In the Exodus reading, we hear a little bit of what goes up must come down. Moses goes up on the mountain, presumably to receive the tablets, the instructions, God's commandments for God's people on behalf of the people of Israel. So Moses goes up, and the people see something scary happening on the top of that mountain, and they get a little nervous. And Moses is up there a really long time. He's up there 40 days and 40 nights before he is ready to come back down the mountain and give to the people God's word and God's commandments. In the same way, Jesus and Peter, James, and John go up a mountain where something mysterious and miraculous occurs before their eyes, and then they must walk back down the mountain and re-enter the group, having seen something puzzling, not sure what to make of it just yet. And all of this is occurring as there is an undeniable movement towards Jerusalem and towards the cross. You see, in the verses just before the Transfiguration, Jesus has foretold his own death and resurrection. There's a sense of unease in these disciples, and then something strange has happened. I'm sure this scene replays in their heads over and over again in the days and weeks that follow. What are they to do with this? On the one hand, what they have seen must cement Jesus' divinity in their minds. There's no question now that this is God. in glory and light among them. And yet Jesus gives them a different instruction, telling them not to let what they have witnessed cloud and confuse their minds so that they are fearful. They are to remember what they've witnessed, to believe what they have seen, and to know these things in their heart, because they will need them in the days to come. You see, I believe that God prepares us in ways that, while mystifying, are meant to help us make sense of what is happening in our world in due time. The blinding mountaintop is meant not to instill fear within us, but to help us and give us a place of reference in both ordinary days and extraordinary days. In art, when a visual artist is painting or drawing a particular subject matter, what's being captured, that specific thing, is less important than the light that shines on it. I think there's something to that for our discipleship in this transfiguration story. You see, the bright light that shone through Jesus was what the disciples saw. And in discipleship, we have the light of Christ shone on and through us. The question is, how are we going to respond? How does this change us? What reflection do we give? How will we be disciples? Will our response to the light of God be a dull, flat, uninspiring sort of discipleship? Or will it be a transcending and relational, warm and embracing sort of discipleship? You see, Jesus came to us as one who is in relationship with us. He walked with a group of friends called disciples. He even took them up a mountain and then back down again. Jesus' life on earth wasn't just a brilliant flash of light up on the top of a cloudy mountain. God and Jesus was the one who touched the disciples on the shoulder and said, "Get up and don't be afraid." The same one who just a little earlier had called out to them, "Follow me." And they did. You see, God is both mighty and glorious and enormous, and at the same time, just as much in the crumb of bread and the drop of grape juice held in the smallest of hands among us. This is the God who is transfigured before the disciples. Eyes. So the question for us today is, how will we be changed by the encounter with the transfigured God? What difference does it make in our discipleship to have the light of Christ shone on and through us? How will we walk forward and down off the mountain? Amen.